Just thank you right now for the angels of the Lord that are encamped round about, God, the property here. God, the physical property, of course, the bodies naturally, but Lord, the physical property as well, Father. We thank you that you've given angels to those that are ministers, those that are called by your name, God. You've given them angels. We thank you for those angels that are on assignment. And Father, we just pray your divine protection over them, God, over their property, over their family. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, we speak against the storm, and we say right now, peace be still. Father, I pray, God, it'll dissipate. Lord, we've heard the forecast, but God, we know you're well able to say, peace be still. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we declare peace be still. God, we pray a supernatural dissipation, God, of the clouds. God, I pray it'll be so supernatural, Father, that meteorologists will have to testify that something's happened that's out of the norm. We ask you, mighty God, in faith, and we believe by faith, that you are moving, God. You said in your word, if any two or three touch an agreement and ask anything in your name, that you will do it. So God, we just set ourselves in faith and we set ourselves in agreement and we thank you in advance for your supernatural protection. We receive it now in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a clap. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We agree. Glory to God. It's so good, too, to have one of our elders in the church, Brother Dave. Stand up, brother. Wave both hands. Hallelujah. Appreciate this man of God. He travels with me periodically. Matter of fact, we were in a church, what, a month ago, I guess? About a month ago, we were in a church down in Anderson. So we kind of, Anderson Landrum, you know, in the last month. And I normally try to be at our church on Sunday mornings. And, of course, when this opportunity came with Pastor Scott, man, I just, you know, just wanted to be with you guys and hear a whole lot about the church and what God's doing here. And one of the things that I hear about you guys is the body ministry. And how you understand that each one of you are ministers. How many ministers do we have this morning? All right, if you're born again, come on, I'm going to help you. This is an open book test. If you're a minister, if you're born again, you're a minister. How many ministers I have? All right, that's exactly right. You guys are all ministers. Amen. Well, listen, I'm going to share something this morning that is going to be a little bit getting into some history and some background. So, and let me say this too. I'm kind of one of these preachers. You can help me preach. You can see Brother Dave's been out in the sun a little bit more than I have, and he's a little bit darker than I am. And that's kind of the way our church is. We're about 50. Well, we're probably about 48% black, 48% white, and then we got the nations in the other part, the other 2%. But we're very multiracial. So I promise you, if you say amen or something, it won't hurt my feelings. It's almost like putting a little gas on me, but don't feel impressed that you have to do that. But what I'm going to share is actually a word God had given me probably about 9 months ago, and I didn't understand the significance of it. I understood some of the historical backdrop. How many realize God knows everything that's going to happen way before it happens? You know, he is not reactive. In other words, the devil doesn't do something and then God tries to react to it. How many know God the Father is omniscient? That means he's all-knowing. He knows our end from our beginning. You know, God's not confined to this thing called time. You and I are confined here on planet Earth to time. God lives in eternity. He always has been and always will be. That's how he can speak a prophetic word about something that's forthcoming, because he's already been there. He's already seen it. No matter what you're facing this morning, it's not new to God. God's already been ahead of you. That's why the Bible says that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Ancient of Days. Amen. He knows everything. And I'm not a real big eschatology kind of guy. And eschatology, speaking of last day's events, I'm not one of these kind of preachers every week that I'm talking about the different signs of the time. Although I believe that God, knowing, having foreknowledge of everything coming, even Jesus himself devotes one chapter in Matthew chapter 24 and even into 25 about the signs of the times concerning the last day. So I believe in last day's events, but there's something that has been so significant that has happened in the last couple weeks here, and many of you course, are familiar with the embassy there in Jerusalem, where President Trump, you know, dedicated the embassy there, and how that, you know, some things that I'm going to tie in historically that I believe relate to you and I. I don't believe events just happen by coincidence or by chance or even in certain time frames. I believe God foreknows, and he gives prophetic word and prophetic declaration to help us understand the season we're in. You know, the men of Issachar, it was said of them in Chronicles, the men of Issachar understood the times and seasons and knew what Israel ought to do. And I believe as we discern the hour we're in and position ourselves, then we can enter into or receive the things that God wants to pour out. And, you know, I don't believe the church in the last days is going to be weaker than it was when it was birthed at Pentecost. I believe it's going to be more potent with power. I believe the church is going to walk in more signs, more miracles, more wonders. I believe the body of Christ is going to walk in more power and demonstration than even the early church did. I believe what was started at Pentecost in the mind of heaven is to increase from generation to generation. But with that, I want to share a few verses with you, and then we're going to pray again. Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to actually share out of four different passages, and they're not real lengthy, but I'm going to tie all of this together. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Could you stand on your feet? Pastor Scott told me just do like I do at home, so it's kind of how I do at home. We kind of stand up and read the word. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Of course, this is God speaking to Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. See, the reality of the blessing that God brings upon us is so we can be one. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now flip over to Psalms 122. Psalms 122, verse 6, one verse here. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 6. Yet I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name may be there. And I've chosen David to be over my people Israel. One other passage, Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all its inhabitants. And it shall be a jubilee. Somebody shout jubilee. And it shall be a jubilee for you. And each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee to you, and in it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your unintended vine. Verse 12, for it is the jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this awesome body of believers. We thank you for your hand that's there with Pastor Scott and Teresa. And Lord, I pray, God, it'll be a great season of refreshing and renewing with them, Father God, that they'll come back refreshed. And Lord, I pray you'll just continue to protect them, God, as they go to the different places they'll be going there. I think it's in Europe. Father, let your hedge just be about them in a special way, Lord. And Father, as I'm before you people today, I ask you, Holy Spirit, put me on like a coat and wear me. I pray you'll give me supernatural recall. God, I'm dependent upon your anointing and your anointing and all. And Lord, your anointing is what I rest in, Father. And Lord, I thank you right now for opening every ear to hear. I pray you'll just anoint my lips afresh to speak what you need to be what needs to be spoken this morning. And Father, we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor and the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You be seated in the presence of the Lord. As I alluded to a little bit earlier, May the 14th, 2018, there was the dedication of the embassy that was moved from Tel Aviv into Jerusalem. And this is so significant historically, but it's so significant from a prophetic standpoint. Things are aligned more now than they ever have been concerning end time events. Now, I realize when we read Leviticus chapter 25 that in a sense and the reality is Jesus is our Jubilee. But I also believe that God speaks concerning end time events through Israel. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is God's prophetic time clock. When we see things happening in Israel, they relate to you and I as believers because scripturally speaking, you and I are really spiritual Jews. Matter of fact, we are more Jewish from a spiritual standpoint than the Jew that lives in Israel that has not yet received Messiah, Yeshua. Can you say amen? And the Bible says that you and I were wild branches but have been grafted in. Amen? And when we look here in Genesis chapter 12, this is the blessing that God began to pronounce over Abraham. Now, Abraham is what? He's the father of our faith. Amen? Every one of us that came to faith, we can relate that we are children of Abraham. He's the father of our faith. We entered into covenant with God. The book of Galatians says that we entered into the Abrahamic covenant. In this covenant that we read, in this portion of it, there's another text, and I'm not going to have time to get into it, but basically God tells Abraham, you're going to possess the gates of your enemy. But here, the thing that I want to emphasize and highlight in Genesis chapter 12, God tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, I'm going to bless everybody that blesses you. And I'm going to curse everybody that curses you. Now, Abraham, of course, he is the father of Israel. When you look down through the lineage, and he's the father of the Jewish nation. He's the father of our faith as well. But when we look at the life of Abraham, this covenant that God cut with Abraham, according to the book of Galatians, you and I have entered into this Abrahamic covenant. Amen? Through the blood of Jesus. How many thank God for the blood? It's the blood of Jesus that caused us to enter into circumcision. Not the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision of the spirit, where things were cut away from our heart. Isaiah prophesied and said it like this. He said, I will take out of you a heart of stone, and I will put in you a heart of flesh. Amen. There was a circumcision that took place when you and I were born again of the Spirit of God. There was a change that took place. There was a transformation that took place that brought us into the covenant that God started with when he started with Abraham. And even beyond that, when you look at Adam and you know, all the way down through the lineage, but God primarily talks about this Abrahamic covenant in the New Testament. And to look at what happened in a few weeks ago on May 14th, we got to back, kind of go backwards a little bit in history, I think, to fully embrace what took place. Because this year, in this season, is significant in three different ways. Not just the embassy being moved to Jerusalem. Of course, it was moved to Jerusalem on the birthday of modern-day Israel's birth, 1948, May 14th. How many realize, I don't believe that was by chance. I believe God preordained that the embassy would be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on the birthday of modern-day Israel's history. Didn't happen by chance. Not just on the birthday, but on the 70th birthday, which many scholars say represents a generation. So on the birthday of one generation of Israel, the President of the United States says, we're going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. In 1995, there was a law passed under Bill Clinton's administration that acknowledged that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel and that the embassy would be moved from Tel Aviv. And according to that law and the way it was written, every 6 months it would come up and have to be re-examined, and you could waver it. And through Bill Clinton's administration, every 6 months it was wavered. Then came President Bush's administration, and every 6 months it was wavered. Then came President Obama's administration, and every 6 months it was wavered. Then comes President Trump. Now, I'm not going to get political with you. I don't agree with that everything President Trump says for sure. But I can tell you one thing. He is ordained of God. I didn't say he was necessarily a man of God, but he's ordained of God. Because the word is very, very clear. The Bible says that every person that's placed in authority, God set him there. Amen. God set him there for such a time as this to have the boldness to say this thing is... He waived it the first 6 months, but after that he made a decree back in December and said, we're going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And did it on the anniversary of Israel's history. Hallelujah. There's more to come, though, that really ties in with who you and I are as believers. More than just the 70th anniversary, what could be more than the embassy being moved? And we have to go backwards in history. In 1917, the United Kingdom, Britain, Great Britain, made a declaration. It was in letter form, the Balfour Declaration. In that declaration, what they declared, Britain did, they declared in 1917, remember that year, in 1917, they declared that the Jewish people had a right to territory and what was known as the Palestinian area. I like to say it like this, the Palestinian occupation, because, you know, nowadays they use a lot of terminology about Israel occupy. Israel does not occupy the land of Israel. Israel owns the land of Israel. Because God gave them the land of Israel. God never gave it to the Palestinians. You can look at the seed of Ishmael and you'll discover real quickly that God ordained Israel, the seed of Isaac, to be in that land. Israel is not occupying. Israel is in the land that, how many know God owns the cattle on a thousand hills? God owns the planet. And God Almighty Jehovah ordained that Israel be where Israel is. In that territory, God gave that land to Israel. You can go back from Abraham, where Abraham went to Mount Moriah. Do you know where I've been to Jerusalem a couple times in 98 and 2000. And you know where Mount Moriah is? It's the Temple Mount. That's where Abraham went to offer up Isaac, is in the city of Jerusalem. See, there's no city in the world that's more important to God than Jerusalem. And I know some of the different religions, of course, it's the center of three main religions of the world. Look at it as a holy city, the Muslims, the Orthodox Jews, and of course Christians. But in reality, when you study the thing out, you discover that in the Quran, Jerusalem's not mentioned by name one time. There's one reference in the Quran to Jerusalem, yet they want that city. Why do they want it? Can I tell you one thing that I believe? Hell hates souls. Hell, the enemy, the devil wants to carry as many people to hell as he can. The second thing the devil wants to do is he wants to control Jerusalem and Israel. Because it's so significant to Bible prophecy. And so we find that in 1917, there was this declaration by Britain. Britain became a great world power. I believe the reason Britain became a great world power, particularly in the earlier years of the history of the nation, is because they began to side with Israel. Blessed are those that bless Israel. Cursed are those that curse Israel. However, when you go fast forward from 1917, when you look at it historically, Great Britain begins to back up, and they began to back away from Israel. At first, they were in agreement that Jews could begin to inhabit, more Jews could begin to inhabit the land that they were believing that would be set aside initially, and they were for that. Then they began to oppose that, and they began to side against Israel rather than for Israel. And when you look at the map of the land that Great Britain and the Commonwealth of England and UK, what it was originally and what it is now, they confined down to a little island now. Because blessed are those that bless Israel, and cursed are those that curse Israel. Then you fast forward into May 14th, 1948, when the United Nations voted whether Israel would be a nation again. I thank God for President Harry Truman. President Harry Truman was a president that signed that. At that time, Britain refused to sign. They stood back again. And I believe that's the reason that Britain is not a world power anymore. And I'm going to take it a step further. I believe America's blessed because we blessed Israel. I believe there's a blessing that rests on this nation because we have stood with Israel. And as long as we stand with Israel, I believe we'll see greater blessings that will be released upon this place and this nation. Blessed are those that bless Israel. Cursed are those that curse Israel. Particularly Jerusalem, we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But Harry Truman, when he's there and he has advisors, and historically you can study this out, but different advisors come up to Harry Truman and said, you don't need to do this, there's going to be a war. If you agree that Israel has a right to become a nation, if you do this, there's going to be a major war, there's going to be much bloodshed. To the point that the Secretary of Defense rose up against President Truman and told him, listen, if you're going to go on through with this and you're going to sign for Israel to become a nation in the upcoming election right here, I will not even vote for you. That was the Secretary of Defense. Truman had much pressure, but I believe the Spirit of Almighty God guided him. And he agreed for Israel to be born. Prophesying, I should say it like this, fulfilling prophetic words that were spoken by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 66, shall a nation be born in a day. And in one moment, May 14th, Israel was birthed as a nation and recognized as a nation. Folks, we got to realize that hadn't happened for 2,000 years. In one moment, Israel was born as a nation. Then the next day, May 15th, now a newborn nation. Are y'all all right with this? I know it's history, but I got a little passion in it, okay? May the 14th, they were birthed as a nation. May the 15th, they were attacked by five Arab nations. Five different nations attacked. Can you imagine a nation be born in a day? I think there was an estimated 2.1 million people in the nation when they were birthed. And they were attacked the very next day by five Arab nations. And these nations attacked Israel. And see, during the process of Israel becoming a nation, there was a resolution passed in the United Nations that allotted so much land to Israel. Then they were birthed as a nation. Then they were attacked by five different Arab nations. Didn't really even have a military put together. But yet God in his sovereignty, within 10 months, listen to me, within 10 months, Israel had defeated all the Arab forces and had taken 60% more land than they had in the resolution. Come on, somebody. God's divine hand was on Israel. And God's divine hand is on Israel. They ended up with 60% more land than the resolution originally gave them. And in 10 months, they defeated five Arab nations. Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan. What was the other one? Iraq, I think it was. I could be wrong on that historical fact. But there was five of them, okay? And The reality is God's divine intervention was there. They were birthed in a nation, as a nation, okay? Then we fast forward to 1967. Glory to God. June 5th, 1967. Can I give you a little bit more historical background on this right here? It's referred to as the Six-Day War. Anybody ever heard of the Six-Day War? Because see, at that time, Jerusalem as a city was cut in half. Half of the old city belonged to Jordan. The other half belonged to the Jews. So Jerusalem is referred to as the West Bank. It was split in half. Half belonging to Jordan, half belonging to Israel. That's the way the setup was. And of course, the Gaza Strip down toward the Sinai. And then you have the Golan Heights, these areas that some of these other nations occupied at the time. And what had begun to happen historically, during that time of history, there was a president in Egypt. His name was Nasser. And this was a very, very charismatic leader. And matter of fact, he joined together an Arab coalition. And his propaganda, or his message, I should say, was a call for the Arab nations to come together to annihilate Israel. And he was a very, very charismatic leader. And he was so charismatic that many of these Arab nations began to come alongside Nasser. And he began to have this mission of being a leader over all these Arab nations, but there was only one thing standing in his way. It was Israel. But blessed are those that bless Israel. and cursed are those that curse Israel. And so Nasser gets information, intelligence from the Soviet Union, which proved to be false, but the Soviet Union gave him, some ambassadors from the Soviet Union gave him information, they thought it'd be true at the time, that Israel was building up their forces toward the Syrian border and that they were going to attack Syria. Well, this is an opportunity for Nasser to begin his process of destroying and annihilating Israel. And so he made a decision that he was going to send his troops over into the Sinai. So he started sending tanks over into the Sinai Peninsula with the motive and the mindset that he was going to attack Israel. And he called King Hussein from Jordan and met with King Hussein and told King Hussein, listen, we're going to annihilate Israel. And King Hussein wrote a letter and agreed to put all of his Jordanian generals up under the leadership of an Egyptian general. So Jordan's army, which was on the other side of Israel, was all submitted up under the general from Egypt. And so they signed this letter. So you got Jordan, you got Egypt, and then you got Syria. Syria joined in and they all signed a pact to annihilate Israel, in essence, is what their mission was. And so when they began to go in the Sinai, Nasser, about 3 days, 2 to 3 days after the information from the Soviet Union, he found out the information was false, that Israel was really not building up army or forces on the Syrian border. But he had already committed himself. And he's sending out these messages all throughout the Arab world, and they're looking to him as this leader to destroy and annihilate Israel. And so he had committed himself so far that he said, we're going to go ahead and fully do this thing. So he continued on sending troops in. And I'm not going to go through all the history. You can look at Prime Minister Eshkol, which was the Prime Minister of Israel at the time. And, you know, he wasn't doing real good in the sense of he wasn't real confident. He thought they were going to be destroyed. Because, see, when you look historically, and you can look at this stuff in, from a, not a Christian perspective, just a historical perspective. And what you discover is that Israel was outnumbered in their aircraft. Israel at the time had 175 aircraft. The Arab nations had over 900. They were outnumbered. Israel was outnumbered 5-1 in armament, 5-1 in aircraft, 5-1 in tanks by the Arab nation. Now, it's referred to as the Six-Day War. How many realize if you start a war and you outnumber 5-1 and you end up winning the war in 6 days, that's supernatural. That's miraculous, right? And so Israel ends up, the prime minister, he's supposed to be over the Department of Defense, but he ends up surrendering to a war hero that was in a previous war. And this guy, Moshe Dayan was his name. And he knew that in order for Israel to win, they had to launch a preemptive strike on the Arab nations. Egypt's built up, Syria's built up, Jordan's built up on their borders. And so the leader of the Israeli forces understands we got to do a preemptive strike. So on June the 5th, 1967, they launch a strike. They discover by intelligence what time the Egyptians will be driving out to the different runways where their aircraft are located. And so they time it so as they launch their planes that they will catch these folks, these pilots, en route to the airfields. And several things happened in that. Jordan had saw planes leaving Israel, heading toward Egypt. And they tried to send a message, but the day before, the Egyptians had changed their security system and had changed some passwords, and the Jordanians couldn't communicate with the Egyptians. Come on. And so, here's the planes. They flew 100 foot across the sea and 100 foot off of land to be up under the radar. And they began to attack the Egyptian Air Force. Watch this. They way outnumbered. They began to attack the Egyptian Air Force, and they began to attack the runways that were all throughout the Sinai. And they ended up, watch this, in 3 hours destroying the Egyptian Air Force. 3 hours. It's historical stuff, y'all. You can go to the library and read this stuff. Then 2 hours, they turned their focus the next 2 hours on Jordan and disabled their air force in the first 5 hours of the war. Come on, Is that God or what? They destroy the Air Force in these two. And then in day one, going into day two, they start sending tanks into the Sinai. And this is interesting. If you study history, the tanks that the Israelis had were World War II tanks, or World War I tanks, I should say. They were the old Sherman tanks. And what the Egyptians didn't know is Israel upfitted their tanks. They put new guns on them. But one of the main components that they put on these new tanks, they put different tracks on these tanks. And see, the Arab nations, particularly Egypt, was supplied by the Soviet Union. They had much modern tanks, much updated tanks. But Israel had these old tanks that they upfitted with these new tracks. And these new tracks that they put on these tanks had the ability to go across several different types of dunes that the tanks that Egypt had could not go over. So when they set up their armament in the Sinai Peninsula, they're thinking the tanks were coming a certain way, but because of the new tracks on the Israeli tanks, they were able to go across dunes and come in from different angles than they were expecting. So the Israelis pushed the Egyptian army all the way back. And in 6 days, destroyed the Egyptians, destroyed the Syrians. And in the middle of that, and in the co-crown possession of that war, was what I'm about to tell you right here. After they had attacked Egypt. Then they sent a message before they attacked Jordan, and they told them, they said, listen now, if you guys don't attack us in the West Bank, we won't attack you. But the Jordanians ignored it and started firing rockets. Because Nasser was putting out over the news, through the Egyptian television and through the news, that they were destroying Israel. Israel didn't say nothing, just let them talk. They were talking about this plane was shot down, that plane was shot down. There's a great propaganda. So King Hussein thought that the Egyptians were winning. And so Nasser sends word, y'all need to go on into West Bank, get as much land as you can. So they ignored the warning from Israel, Jordan did, and began firing in the West Bank. And when they began firing in the West Bank, they ordered the Israeli forces to go in, and they took back Jerusalem, the whole city. The whole city came under Jewish control the first time in over 2,000 years. All of Jerusalem belonged to Israel now. And in 6 days, they defeated those enemies. They took the Sinai Canal, the Sinai Peninsula, I should say. They took all of that land. They took the Golan Heights. They took the West Bank. All of that land come under Israeli control. In 6 days, outnumbered 5-1. Now, how many know that's a God thing? But watch this. The Balfour Declaration in 1917, when you fast forward to 1967, the Six-Day War, how many years is that? That's 50. 50 years. 50 years is Jubilee. Somebody shout Jubilee. Then you fast forward from June of 1967 to June of 2017, you get another 50. From June of 2017 to June of 2018 is the Jubilee year. We're right in the middle of the Jubilee year. Isn't it amazing how, and listen, this is beyond President Trump, okay? How amazing the stock market has done what it's done. Why? Because I believe there's a blessing in this Jubilee season. I believe that this is a season that God ordained before the foundation of the world. And I believe you and I as believers, we can, and this is something I challenge our people to. This man of God sitting right here on the front row went through a series of events, he and his wife, and some situations. And I mentioned I was going to share a little bit about it. But, you know, he's looking right now. He's probably going to have about $500,000 drop in his hand in the next couple months over some situations. Come on, somebody. But I've been preaching this thing. I didn't know that President Trump's going to move to embassy. The first of this year, latter part of last year, I preached a message on Jubilee. And I challenged our people. I said, listen, guys, we are connected with Israel. Israel is God's time clock. Let's believe for the things that we see in the Jubilee year that happened to them. Let's stand in faith and believe those things are going to come our way. Our church this past year, this Jubilee season, it's been one of the most prosperous season that we've ever had in the history of our church. God put in my heart about a year ago now, a desire to plant. We've been doing mission stuff in El Salvador for about 20 years. And the Lord put in my heart about developing a ministry center there, find some property. And I began to look for property and have my pastors that I'm in relationship with look for property. And the property's too high, wrong place. It just, you know, just wasn't going. I took one whole week and went to El Salvador to try to find a piece of property to build this ministry center. And went that whole week, and I told our pastors, I'm not going to really be ministering a whole lot, guys. I'm going to be going with realtors. We're going to see if we can find this land. And I tried my best to find it, and sadly to say, I couldn't find anything. It was either too high or it wasn't in the right location. Didn't feel good in my spirit about it. So I just kind of said, Lord, you know, if you want me to do this thing, then you're going to have to do it. Then I was taking a trip a few months later, went back to El Salvador. And one of the pastors had introduced me to this realtor. I had just happened to have a little bit of time one morning, go look at a piece of property, went and looked at it. It wasn't really sufficient, but I told that guy our vision, what we were wanting to do, our distribution center, our conference center, our mission house, the things that was in our heart to be a blessing to El Salvador. And God, I think, touched his heart. And the next morning, he calls me about a piece of property. End up going, look at this property. And I said, this is it right here. It's about 15 acres. It was an old coffee plantation. The location's right off the Pan American Highway that flows all the way from North America to South America. I mean, phenomenal location where it's located at and everything. And I tell the realtor, I said, you go to the people, you tell them what our vision is, what we're going to do with this, and you tell them we're going to pay cash. Now, I didn't have no money. But my father, in his jubilee, my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And I told him, I said, you tell him we're going to pay cash. So he went back, and the original price was like $80,000, and they ended up dropping it $20,000 because we're going to pay cash and come back. The realtor met with us, and they said they'd take $60,000 cash money. Then my wheels and my little brain started turning and saying, where are we going to get this money at? And I started thinking about, well, we got a line of credit at the church. We got this, that, and another. And I get word from, look at that. It's Jubilee, y'all. Is that my 10 cent? I'll put that in the offering, really, because I don't know where it come from. but help me, Holy Ghost. And so I'm wrecking my brain. How am I going to pay for this? I get word from the States, from a brother in our church, and he sends word, says, Pastor, don't worry about the property or how much it costs. It's going to be paid for. I'm going to write a check. And by the time I got back, within 2 weeks, I had a check for $60,000. And then he looked at me and he said, Pastor, said, look here. Said, I'm, you know, God's blessed me. I've done real good in the stock market. I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and the church raised $40,000. I'm going to give another $40,000. So one guy ended up giving $100,000. Amen. And watch this. His stock, even after he extracted $100,000 out of it, when you look at his monthly thing, several months thereafter, because the interest rates, I mean, the stock market just went out of sight. When it went out of sight, he was bringing in more money than he was when he had the $100,000 prior. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's Jubilee. Several things. Let me look at my clock here. I know we don't have no clock, but we do. On planet Earth, we do. But look at these things right here that we can see take place in Jubilee. And listen, God wants to bless us for the purpose of us being a blessing. The blessing is not just to bless us. The blessing is that we may be a blessing. Amen? And I believe that there are things that in seasons that God opens up, and faith is such a key, I believe, to receiving the things that God makes available to us. Matter of fact, I say it like this. I don't believe God's moved by need. If God was moved by need, there wouldn't be anybody hungry in Ethiopia. I said that in my church about 3 months ago, and there's a brother come up to me after service, and I could tell he had a strong accent, said, I want you to know, Pastor, I'm from Ethiopia, and we are blessed there. God's moving in Ethiopia. I said, well, praise God. I shouldn't use that anymore. Maybe I should say Haiti or something. But God's not moved by need. God's moved by faith. And oftentimes where we put our faith out determines what we walk in. Amen? All right, look at this. Several characteristics are things that take place in the Jubilee year. Look back in Leviticus chapter 25. verse 10, it says, and you shall consecrate the 50th year. In other words, this 50th year, you need to set it apart. This 50th year is going to be a different year. It's a different season. As Israel goes, so goes the rest of the world. As those bless Israel, they'll enter into the blessings of God. Israel, I believe, and I said it earlier, is one of the main reasons America is blessed as America is. There has never been a nation that has rose up out of the earth that's been blessed greater than America. And I believe it's primarily because of our connection and our blessing with Israel and standing with Israel. But look at these things right here. Notice right there in verse 10, it says, that this 50th year, you're to set it apart and you're to proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants. And this is one thing that I challenged our folks at Encounter. Claim this year as a year of liberty for your family. In other words, if you got children, you got grandchildren, you got people that are connected to you that aren't serving God or aren't walking with God or aren't in relationship and covenant with God, you begin to declare that this is a year of liberty for them, that this is a year that they're going to be set free. You tell hell and any other bondage that's got them captive in the name of Jesus are going to be set free by the blood of the covenant. Jesus is our jubilee, but in this season we're declaring liberty. In Jesus' name. Liberty for all the families. And I want to encourage you. You may have prayed for a certain family member, and it may seem like that they've got further away from God than getting closer. All it takes is one encounter with God to revolutionize somebody's life. All it takes is one touch from heaven. All it takes is one dream, one vision, one encounter that will transform their life forever. And God can reach anybody that's living and breathing. Can you say amen? So no matter how long you may have prayed for some of your family or some of your loved ones, I want to challenge you and declare this. And you, when you look at this passage, it says it is a jubilee for you. In other words, you got to make it personal. I mean, we walk around our church, it's my jubilee. I don't know what it is for you, but it's my jubilee. I don't know what it is for that other person. This is my jubilee. This is a jubilee for you. And so I'm claiming, I got family members that have already made some fresh commitments to the Lord, but you know what? I'm claiming everyone. I got a half-sister that's been in Wicca and in witchcraft, but I'm here to tell you by the blood of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Ghost, she's going to come into the kingdom and serve Almighty God, and God's going to use her in a powerful way. Hallelujah. I'm proclaiming liberty over her because it's Jubilee. Somebody shout, it's my Jubilee. Hallelujah. Here's another thing. It says right here in verse 10, it shall be a jubilee to you, and each one of you shall return to his possession. Return to his possession. And when you study the remainder of Leviticus chapter 25, you discover that God gave them prescriptions on if they were to sell a piece of property, that they would figure in this whole jubilee thing, because in the jubilee year, whatever was sold or lost automatically came back. Glory to God. Whether it was stolen, oh, y'all got to get on. Come on. I'm going to have to amen myself a little bit here now. I feel this. Hallelujah. No matter what was lost or how it was lost, because I am a born-again believer, I am a spiritual Jew. I've been engrafted into the vine. I've been born of the Spirit. I'm in covenant with God. I go back to the Genesis covenant with Abraham, to the covenant with Adam, the covenant with Abraham. I am in covenant with God. So therefore, I claim all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. I got some stuff that's coming back. Hallelujah. This year's been a good year for me. I had a situation happen and ended up with a $61,000 check in my hand. Well, you ought to praise God for what I got, okay? But I've been claiming this jubilee thing. And I'm not a name it, claim it kind of guy, but I do believe that there's certain seasons. You know, the Bible says this about Bethlehem and even Israel. It says they missed their time of visitation when Jesus was walking among. I don't want to miss my time of visitation. If there's a window that's being opened in heaven and God's saying, I'm going to bless everybody that gets in faith for what I'm opening in this season, I want to be first in line. Because I understand that the blessing that's coming on me is not just for me. God's putting resources and things in my hand so the kingdom of God can be advanced. Hallelujah. God wants to bless us with that Abrahamic blessing so that we may be a blessing. Can you say amen? That's the whole purpose in the blessing. God doesn't mind us having good things and nice things. I believe the world ought to look at us and envy us and see the blessing of God and see the favor of God on us. But it's okay to have things as long as things don't have you. Amen. It's all right to be blessed as long as we understand and acknowledge who the blesser is, that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation nor shadow turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. He is the blesser. Amen. But it was a year, the Jubilee was a year that they got back all their land, all their territory. Everything that was lost automatically came back. Glory to God. Anybody believing for some stuff coming back your way? The devil stole some stuff in the name of Jesus. It's my Jubilee. I'm declaring Jubilee. It's coming back in Jesus' name. Here's another thing. It says, each of you shall return to your possessions, and each of you shall return to his family. Each of you shall return to his family. And the Lord spoke this to me. And I think you see this particularly in the hour we're living in. I think even more so, you see families that are disintegrating. You see families where sisters won't talk to brothers, and brothers won't talk to sisters, and mamas won't talk to sons, and division. See, the devil is the author of division. Jesus himself said this, a house that's divided against itself can't stand. A kingdom divided against itself can't stand. So understand, if there's division in your house or in your family, understand where it originated from. Ooh, y'all getting quiet on me now. Yeah, but you don't know my crazy aunt. You don't know my crazy brother. I mean, he carrying devils with him. He got passengers. It doesn't matter what they have done. God is a God that can restore. God is a God that can put stuff back together. God is a God that can mend. God is a God that can heal. And it doesn't matter what they've done. The Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 6, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. Anytime there's an engagement in the natural realm, it's a reflection of something that's happening in the spirit realm. That's how you can love people. And know that they're just being used sometimes by the enemy. But the enemy wants to divide because he understands that where division comes, destruction comes. But in this Jubilee year, all the families coming back to the homeland. All the family coming back together. Glory to God. I don't care if they're, listen, the Bible says the love of God or love covers a multitude of sins. You and I as believers, we have the love of God. It does not matter what they've done, how crazy they've done it, or it doesn't matter what they said, what they've done. The love of God is what's going to reach them. The love of God is what's going to bring restoration. But I encourage you to challenge you to pray for family restorations. The families came back together. And this will be my first closing.
I'm going to take a drink of
I usually get about, how many I get usually? Three or four. These will be short closing, I promise. My stomach been growling for the last 30 minutes. Well, since I started preaching, it quit growling, but it was growling a little earlier. But anyway, I better not talk about food here. Okay, look in verse 11 here. The 50th year shall be a jubilee to you, and it shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your intended vine. Verse 12, for it is the Jubilee, shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. Basically, what God is saying, you see, every seventh year they're supposed to let the land rest. Seven sevens, 49 years, and then you get into the 50th year. The Jubilee year, basically God's telling them, you ain't going to have to plant. You're not going to have to water. You're not going to have to sow seed. There's going to be a supernatural harvest. You're going to be able to eat of the land, and it ain't going to have nothing to do with what you do. In other words, God's going to supernaturally provide for you. Now, God, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Jireh means he's the Lord our provider. El Shaddai means he's the God of more than enough. God is an all-sufficient God, right? I mean, if he can lead millions of people out of Egypt, bring them into a wilderness, feed them with manna 6 days, and on the sixth day give them just enough manna to last on the seventh day, if he can bring water out of a rock, and even when they complain and say, I'm tired of the manna, God says, I'm going to rain down quail on you. If he can feed millions of people in the wilderness, how many realize he can take care of your Hyundai payment? Come on, how many know he can provide? He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. But in this Jubilee year, not only do they return to their possessions, but the land that they began to reoccupy produced of itself. There was a supernatural harvest that took place in this Jubilee year. I wonder how many will get in faith with me this morning and say, it's my Jubilee year. I'm claiming every one of these promises, and I'm declaring that I'm going to live in this season, in a season of supernatural harvest. Now, harvest can manifest in different ways. Of course, when you speak of the natural, it can speak of finances and resources. And of course, I believe it's applicable in that way. But I believe, you know, the harvest that we're to reap out of our lives is not just from a monetary standpoint. I believe, you know what I believe? I believe wealth is not just money and land and houses and property. I believe wealth can be a peace that passes all understanding. I believe wealth can be the joy of the Lord that is your strength. I believe that this season can be a season that we enter into a supernatural increase in whatever area that we have lack. Or whatever area that we have need. Amen. How many believe it's your Jubilee? Come on, if you believe that, stand on your feet with me. Glory to God. And I like, as I said earlier before I got started, I really encourage people to be interactive. So I know I asked you to do some things sometimes. Some of you may not be comfortable with that. I understand not everybody in our church is. But I want to challenge you to do something, because there's something about making declarations. There's something about speaking it out of your mouth. Matter of fact, the book of Proverbs says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And he that lives by it, or he that eats it, shall, or he that lives by it, shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, the words we speak can be a harvest that we produce in our future. Words are very powerful. Words can bless, words can curse. I believe this nation, America, has entered into, I believe, a season of blessing beyond what we've ever known. I believe we're going to see more increase. I believe we're going to see more blessings. I understand there's always going to be challenges. The devil don't like it when God blesses his people. When the favor of God comes on his people, I understand the enemy doesn't like it. And I understand there's challenges. We do have an adversary. We do have opposition. But I believe there's something powerful when we link our faith with the word of God and begin to declare and decree things. How many realize that God's a good daddy? He's a good father, isn't he? You know, the book, Prophet Haggai said this, all the silver and all the gold is mine, says the Lord. God owns the cattle on a thousand hill. He owns everything. And I believe he wants to bless his people so that we may be a blessing. Amen. But I want you to make this declaration. I want you to just find about three people and just go tell them, this is my Jubilee year. This is my Jubilee year. This is my Jubilee year. This is my Jubilee. It's my Jubilee. My Jubilee. This is my Jubilee. This is my Jubilee. This is my Jubilee. This is my Jubilee. Bless you. My Jubilee. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. If you really believe that, give God a high praise right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for tolerating me. Thank you so much for, gosh, just giving us the opportunity to come and be here. Please let Pastor Scott and Teresa know how honored we were to be here. I trust that the Lord had me say something that bore witness in your spirit. Amen. And I want you to do this for me, if you would, because, you know, the Bible says, make known his mighty deeds among the people. I shared about a testimony Dave had, shared about a testimony that I had, and I want to encourage you to do this. As God does things and things open up and you know it's supernatural and you know it's the Lord doing something, be sure and let Pastor Scott, let Elder Dan, our other elder here, let these guys know what God's doing, because oftentimes when God does something for you and you talk about it, it stirs faith up in somebody else. Can you say amen? That's why the word says, make known his mighty deeds among the people. Amen. Can we give Elder Dan a hand? Come on, man of God. I turned it over.
And we thank you, Pastor Joey. That was awesome. And especially those of us who love history and love Israel, we can't hear enough of it. Thank you. Okay, so what a day. And Pastor Scott's going to be out another couple of weeks, but we've got another friend of Pastor Joey's and Pastor Scott coming next week, and then yet another pastor coming the week after that. So we're going to have a good time, and we're going to be blessed with some great messages. So be sure to be here next week, and tell anybody you know who's not here today, tell them to be here, because we're going to have fun. And we're continuing to pray for Pastor Scott and Teresa for rest and restoration and just a great time for them. So, Father, you are the one living God, and we are here because of you, and we bless your holy name. Thank you, Father. Father, would you bless and keep each one of these people here as we go our separate ways today? Father, would you turn your face toward each one and be gracious to each one in the name of Jesus? And Father, would you turn your face to us and give us your shalom peace? Father, write your name in our minds and on our hearts. And Father, may there be peace in Jerusalem in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.